All right, we're going to continue in our series, Fantasy, Fiction, or Reality. Now, what do I got? I got 42 minutes. All right. I'm going to start with my Christian creed, as I have been through this series. If I tell people their belief system is wrong according to the Bible, I am told that I'm not being a loving Christian. I'm intolerant, hateful, judgmental. The Bible says this, though. Apostle Paul, writing to the pastor Timothy, I charge you therefore before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, when they want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it. Convince them of the truth. Rebuke where they go wrong. Exhort them, encourage them to follow Christ with all patience, long suffering, and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itchy ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. God tells us to love everyone. Part of truly loving someone is sharing the truth of the only way to heaven, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that all people are sinners in need of a Savior, that Jesus is the only way to the Father. I know it is not a popular message today. It wasn't a popular message in Jesus' day either, but that did not stop him from sharing it and ultimately dying for it. I will be called a hater, a judgmental Christian, a narrow-minded bigot, and many other names for sharing the truth in love. It is part of being a Christian. Jesus told his followers that the world would hate them for his namesake. I choose to carry that cross and honor the one who died for me. I choose to truly love everyone by making sure I share with them the truths of the Bible, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his gospel. And with that, let's move to today's subject. Charismatic movement. We are still inside the Christian faith. This series is designed to look at every belief system out there and to test it. We started with the Christian faith. For 4 weeks, we put it to the test. Much more severe than what I'm going to do with all the other belief systems, because we're only going to hit with them one Sunday. We're only going to test them for one Sunday. For the Christian faith, I tested it for four. It proved itself to be true. Now we are moving out into the false belief systems, but I said we have to start very close to home because there have been false belief systems that have come up from inside Christianity. The first one was easy belief in carnal Christianity. The second one last week was the prosperity gospel, and this week is the charismatic movement. The charismatic movement is this, defined. The charismatic movement is an interdenominational Christian renewal movement and is one of the most popular and fastest growing forces within the Christian world today. The movement traces its roots to its 1906 at the Azusa Street Mission in Los Angeles, California, a Methodist-sponsored revival. It was there that people claimed to have been baptized by the Holy Spirit in the manner recorded in Acts chapter 2 during the celebration of Pentecost. People speaking in tongues and miracles of healing aroused people to a spiritual frenzy. The people who attended those meetings spread their enthusiasm throughout the United States, and the Pentecostal charismatic movement began. Now, the next part of the definition. The charismatic movement is known for its acceptance of speaking in tongues, divine healing. Now, the speaking in tongues is not the biblical speaking in tongues at all. Divine healing, signs and wonders, prophecies and miracles as evidence of the Holy Spirit, which marked the true Christian faith, according to them. People are encouraged to experience God through these manifestations of the Spirit, over experiencing God through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit through the study of the Word of God. Feelings and emotions are determined to be superior to that of the revelations of Scripture. Let me show you some examples of these so-called manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The first one is what they call a glory cloud.
Thank you.
Okay. This is supposed to be the glory of God falling on the people by gold dust. This is never, ever found in Scripture. God is the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He does not change. And the way he interacted with people from the Old Testament to the New Testament never included gold dust. Now, there are instances where people were in, very few, but there were some instances where people were in the presence of God, his glory. And these godly people who had that privilege of experiencing for a slight moment the glory of God, do you know how they reacted to it? Great humbleness and reverence, and most of them fell down as if they were dead in the presence of the Most High. They weren't screaming and jumping up and down and taking pictures. Again, Scripture never talks about gold dust. Let me show you the next one.
Hey, YouTube. I wanted to record another video. This is of the angel feathers. I believe they're angel feathers. They manifested when my friends and I were prophesying at the One Thing conference. It was very powerful. There's a lot of manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Anyway, we were prophesying for about maybe 15 minutes, and I saw one of these fall out of the air. Later, I found six more of them around the area where we were praying and prophesying. So here's the feathers, and enjoy some music while I show them to you.
Angel feathers. Now, in a way, this is quite comical. They look like just like the feathers you can find in your pillow back home. But the angels must be like little cherubs, because those are tiny little feathers. The angels described in the Bible are magnificent. I don't picture their wings with little feathers like that. And again, nowhere in Scripture did angels leave feathers. There's also what we call gem manifestations, where inside the church and in people's homes, precious jewels just appear. That's never in Scripture. There's also the gold teeth manifestation, where people go to church and they're in the presence of this glory cloud, and their teeth turn gold. There's pictures. There are many more of these things. All these strange signs and wonders. They also have the healing part of this charismatic movement. Go ahead and play it.
Take the fresh breath of the Spirit.
Take that first breath of the Spirit. All right, let me try it. Mike was like, hey, whoa, hey. I cannot find one, and I don't think anybody else has, one documented healing from any of these so-called healers. No doctor saying, yes, I had this patient and they were going to die and they had this sickness or whatever, and now they don't. You know, I find it unique in the charismatic movement, these so-called healers who call themselves prophets and apostles, that they have the gift of healing, why don't they just go down all quiet like with no cameras down to the local hospital, the cancer ward, and walk in there and use their gift for healing? They never do that. No, you have to go to their special events where either you have to pay to get in or they're going to pass the offering plate. And most of these healers have their own private jets. They're greedy for money. Let me show you another one named Todd Bentley.
Bah. Finish it, Lord. Bam, 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 bam. Jesus, a brand new hip. Bam, 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 bam. God, I command polio. 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 I just command healing in that leg. Can you feel that? Polio. Polio. Polio.
It's starting to open up.
Yeah. You know, the Lord is telling me something right now. You want this anointing?
Yes.
You ready?
Todd Bentley is one of the charismatic leaders. He's a self-acclaimed apostle. He is the spiritual disciple of a local pastor, Bill Johnson, from Bethel Church. It does not give me any pleasure to show these things. They actually break my heart. The abuse and the distortion of the truth of God's word, the false and lying signs attributed to the Holy Spirit of God, is shameful. These manifestations are not found in the Bible, not even at the day of Pentecost when the church began. These manifestations can only be attributed to two sources, either fraud or from the demonic. The charismatic movement teaches their people to chase after these signs, to go to these events around the country to experience the manifestations from traveling place to place. The people in the charismatic movement have no faith without these signs and wonders, without seeking the next spiritual frenzy or emotional highs. They have to chase them continuously. There's a book called God Chasers. I hope none of you have it. If you do, throw it away. I have it up in my office as a tool when I teach on this subject. You don't have to chase God. We'll talk about that today. The charismatic movement filled with fraud and with the demonic are all too willing to provide the people what they want in these signs and wonders. Let's look at what the Bible says about these so-called spiritual manifestations. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. Satan has great power. And just as he will when in the future bring the lawless one, the Antichrist, into power through powerful signs and wonders, he is already at work laying the foundation, deceiving people. These lying signs are getting a whole generation ready to receive the lawless one. How is it possible that people are fooled by these lying signs and wonders? These things that are not found in Scripture. Angel feathers, gold dust, gold teeth, precious gems, people shaking uncontrollably, being thrown back onto the ground. I have to amend my notes here. I said some of those aren't found in Scripture. Well, actually, the last two are, shaking uncontrollably and being thrown back onto the ground. But when you find those in Scripture, do you know what it's related to? Why the people are shaking uncontrollably and being thrown to the ground? The demonic. How can they fall for this? Well, it begins with not receiving the love of the truth, the Bible. These leaders downplay the Bible. Not a complete rejection of it, but a deliberate redirecting and redefining what the Bible is to their congregations. That the Bible promotes these emotions, the feelings, and the supernatural experiences as superior to the seeking of the sanctification through the Word. And without the Word of God, a person does not have discernment, the ability to see through the lies and the deceptions being taught. Sound doctrine is not heeded in the charismatic movement. Remember the verses I started with from the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4. They will not endure sound doctrine, but they go after their own desires. You'll see that here in a second. Desires of their hearts. They will turn their ears away from the truth, be turned aside to fables. You know what the word doctrine, sound doctrine means? Healthy, good instruction. How many of us don't like instructions? Well, probably all the men in here. We always throw the book of instructions to the side. And then after we get done getting mad and throwing things, the wife hands us the book of instructions. What kind of people do not like good instructions? Well, the Proverb 15 says this: a fool despises his father's instruction. And you see, our Heavenly Father has given us the greatest instructions. It's called the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this: all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, God our Father. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man, woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do these false teachers and preachers really deny the Scriptures? I have multiple, I have hours upon hours of their sermons up in my office. I listened to them. You know, when I was in Texas and God says, I'm going to make you a pastor, I said, God, I want to go somewhere where I can use apologetics. I can stand up against the false deceptions of Satan in this world and share with people the truth of God's word. Send me somewhere where there's great deception. That's what my prayer was. These pastors deny the Scripture. One very famous one based here in Reading, I've already mentioned his name, overemphasizes the moving of the Spirit over the study of the Word. I'm going to quote him. If you want to see this quote, I have it in my office on video. He says this. He told his congregation they should not value a book, as he holds up the Bible, should not value a book more than the moving of the Holy Spirit, because the first century church did not even have the book. Then he tells them to be careful with the Bible because the letter kills. Then he makes the statement of how many wars have been caused by the Bible. Quote unquote. He tries to say he believes in the Bible as the Word of God, but at the same time, he undermines it. He tries to minimize the need of the Word in the believer's life. He calls into doubt what it really means. Just like another false, evil teacher that entered the Garden of Eden and made Adam and Eve doubt with the word of God, what God had said. When he said, did God really say? Did God really say that, Eve? You won't die. Let me be clear. One, the first century church had the word of God. It had the Old Testament. And you can find Christ and you can find more than enough to lean you and teach you about God. Then the New Testament was written starting around 40 AD, a few years after the death of Christ, and they had it complete before the end of the first century. They had the word of God. Then he said, the letter kills. Well, that's a verse he took from the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. And it does say the letter kills, but you know in context? He takes it out of context. You know why? Because he wants the people to believe that this, the letter, the word of God, can kill. And what Paul is saying in Romans is the law. Those who try to fulfill the law, the letter of the law, it'll kill you because no one can do the law. All are sinners. You need grace. He took it out of context where Paul is talking about the law and he referenced it as the whole Bible. And finally, no war has been caused by this book. Wars are caused by sinful men with sinful desires. Not all. There's some just wars been in our history, but most wars are because of sinfulness. Not because of the book. Oh, someone may use something in this book to try to justify their evilness, but that's not the book's fault. This book hasn't caused one war. This book doesn't bring death. This book brings life because it is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The false teachers of the charismatic movement actually despise the word and seek to hinder their congregations from really understanding what Scripture teaches. Another proverb tells us this: a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Expressing his own heart means feelings, emotions, their own desires. Remember, they go for their own desires instead of the truth, sound doctrine. They want to be entertained when they go to church by signs and wonders, seeking supernatural experiences over the less showy and slow process of discipleship by sanctification. The fool seeks to express his own heart, but remember what the Bible has told us about the human heart. The human heart outside of God's grace is evil and decadent. Only the word of God sanctifies a heart. Only the word of God allows a believer to know God. Only the word of God allows a believer to understand God's ways. And only the word of God allows a believer to stay true to God's calling. Jesus said it plainly, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The Holy Spirit of God uses the word, which is alive and powerful, to bring about the sanctification of the believer. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, the word of God, the gospel, to which you call, which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory. You can obtain the glory. It's not in clouds and manifestations around you. It's in you being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. It's in you being light and salt with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is in you showing the fruit of the Spirit. That's the glory. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word, by their preaching, or by their epistles, the books of the New Testament. You stick with the word of God. It's everything. Since these false teachers do not teach their congregations correctly the word of God, their congregations are easily fooled into believing many crazy, absurd, and even pagan practices and teachings, such as grave sucking, which is a way to receive power from the Holy Spirit. Bring up the first picture, please. These are students from the Bethel Supernatural School of Ministry here in Reading. This has gone out around the world, this teaching. The power of the Holy Spirit you are sealed with. The power is from within you through the Holy Spirit. You receive it through the Word and through opening your life to God. These kids are taught to go to graves of people who were big in the charismatic movement, now who have died, to lay on their graves, to absorb the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the power they had in their life, now can be brought into yours. This is pagan. Don't just take my word for it. We have a reformed pagan upstairs. Gordon, is this part of paganism? Oh, yeah. Where in the Bible does it say to go to a dead person's grave to suck up the anointing, the Holy Spirit, from their dead bones? These kids have no discernment because they're not being taught the Word of God. Go to the next picture. Seeking the power of the Holy Spirit. Why are they students doing this? Why are they not told to focus on the Scriptures? They're being led astray. The final picture. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart at one point. Another point, it makes me righteous indignation. They also have in the movement toking the Spirit. Who in here knows what toking is? You just highlighted the evil people in this room. In the first service, I had quite a few raise their hand. Thank goodness for grace. Toking is this. You know what that is, right? Marijuana. Toki. They toke the Spirit. In their services, they pretend, and they actually get a high. They don't have anything in their hands, but they're experiencing a highness from toking the Spirit. They twitch. They laugh uncontrollably. They're not experiencing the Holy Spirit. They're experiencing Spirit, not the Holy Spirit. There's also called being drunk in the Spirit, where they have shot glasses that are empty, and they're taking shots of the Holy Spirit. And the whole room is laughing. It's a big drunken fest, and they actually get feeling drunk. It's not like sitting here and hearing the Word of God. You go to church to toke and take shots. I'm not kidding with this. Then they have something called fire tunnels. Channeling of spirits. I'll just put it plainly. I could actually go on and on and on from the pagan practices that have been brought into the church through the charismatic movement. Instead of pointing these kids to the study of the Word of God, they are pointing them to the cemetery. So the Holy Spirit is never found. You don't go to a dead person to receive the Holy Spirit. You don't go to a graveyard. So as I close in the last few minutes, what does a person who is lost in the charismatic movement need to know? One, the Word of God must be embraced by the true believer in Christ. Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Maybe it's longest because we should really pay attention to this one. The ladies that are reading through the Bible in 90 days, wait till you get to this one. You think your reading's done for the day? You go, oh, I got one more psalm. Psalm 119. You better go get lunch. 1:19 says this: how can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. He's talking to God. With your whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Do you see the connection there? Taking in the word of God will remove sin from your life. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts, your ways, contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Because your word, Psalms 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Can I get an amen for that one? Remember, we have learned that God's will for your life is the sanctification of you by the Holy Spirit through the Word. Jesus said it, sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. A person in the charismatic movement needs to see that what they believe, the things they are experiencing and even seeing are not from God. Only the Word can illuminate their path away from these false teachings. The word of God must be embraced. Second, the person in the charismatic movement needs to know, nowhere in Scripture does it tell us to experience God. Although extremely popular in charismatic circles, the concept of experiencing God is not explicitly found in Scripture. There are numerous commands in Scripture regarding how we are to relate to God, but experiencing Him is not one of them. We are to love God with all our hearts, obey God, trust God, fear God. But nowhere does the Bible tell us to experience God. We are not called to experience God. We are not to seek signs and wonders and spiritual frenzies and emotional highs. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after those things, the very words of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 12, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And no sign shall be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The only miracle we need is the resurrection. That's it. But God is so good, He's given us another miracle. You hold it in your hands. We talked about this several weeks ago. The Bible, it's supernatural. It's beyond the creation of man. It is a miracle of God. And you hold it in your hands. And then there's a third miracle. You see it every day when you look in the mirror. A sinner who's now a saint, a child of the Most High. Yes. Those are the miracles we seek. Those are the signs you have. Those are all you need. We are called to walk by faith, not by sight. To know God through the washing of the Word of God. And knowing Him. And in knowing Him, you will experience Him, but not how the charismatic movement teaches by these feelings, emotional highs, signs, and wonders. No, but to experience God in a biblical way, to experience the inner peace and joy through the Holy Spirit, only found in a personal relationship with God through the forgiveness of sins by the gospel of Jesus Christ. A person must turn from sin, false teachings, and turn to Christ and be born again. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, the sanctification. Not according to our works, you can't be saved by your good deeds, but according to His own purpose and grace. Grace is what saves us, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. God always had this plan. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So one, the person trapped in the charismatic movement, they need to embrace the word of God. They must be saved according to the gospel. And finally, they must surrender to the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, Paul says, for as many are as led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You are led. You don't have to chase Him all over the place. He is closer than a brother. Truly seeking God is not chasing him. It is opening your life to him to allow the Spirit full control of your life, to restore your soul, to renew the mind. And he does that through the Word of God, the washing of the Word of God. Be led by the Spirit, or the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Papa, Father. It's an intimate relationship with God that you have to know him. And you know him by the beautiful letter that he wrote you to talk to you one-on-one. Not through lying signs and wonders and false teachers. He's Papa. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Christian faith is about a real relationship with God. It's personal, it's intimate. The miracles, the signs, and the wonders are from within our own heart and soul as we are sanctified by the Spirit, transformed from sinner to saint, becoming children of the Most High, experiencing God communing with us and us with him. No need to seek signs and wonders to experience God. He is with you and in you. The Holy Spirit, whom the believer is sealed with, is our guarantee. And the Holy Spirit produces love, peace, and joy by the sanctification of him, by the study of the Word of God. Finally, to truly experience God is to understand that he is faithful, good, holy, just, unchanging, omnipotent, all-powerful, sovereign over all circumstances. One very joyous part of experiencing God is the intimate knowledge of his love. The Bible tells us that God is love. The key to experiencing God is not seeking an experience or an emotional high, but rather it is a lifelong process of belonging to him through Christ, being moved by the Holy Spirit by whom we are sanctified, and growing in the knowledge of him through the Word. The Word of God speaks to the believer. The Word of God grows us in the faith. It renews and restores us. True discipleship is not as flashy. I have to admit, true Christian discipleship is not as flashy as gold dust and teeth and feathers. But it is real. It is life-changing. And it will last forever. A person doesn't need to chase signs and wonders to have faith, to experience God. No. He is with you. If you are born again, wherever you go, he is there. You don't have to chase him. So what we must share with those that are trapped in this charismatic movement: one, they must embrace the Word of God and reject the false teachings of that movement. Two, they must be saved according to the gospel, repent, and be born again. And finally, three, they must surrender to the sanctification of the Holy Spirit through the study of the Word of God. So in conclusion, on the charismatic movement, it is fiction mixed with fantasy. It is a lie. It goes against what God teaches in his Word. The charismatic movement seeks to replace an intimate relationship with God through Christ with lying signs and wonders, fooling a person into a false relationship with God. Can there be saved people in the charismatic movement? Yeah. They've just been led astray into false teachings, but they really have the Spirit. But they've just been overloaded with false teaching. But many in the charismatic movement come to God just like they do in the prosperity gospel, and they come to God in the wrong way and are deceived from the very beginning. Either way, they're being led away from the true faith. It is up to us as a true church, Bible-believing church, to share the truth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise you. We praise you for your truth, your strength, your power, your glory. Oh, Lord, one day we will see your glory. And it'll be more than any of us could ever imagine. Nothing on this earth can come close to showing your glory. All the gold in the world won't even come close. One day, Lord, we will see you. But until then, Lord, help us not to be sidetracked, deceived. And the Bible says it's even possible for elect to be deceived. Lord, that we have eyes to see and ears to understand. We have discernment because we have your word of God flowing through us. We've not rejected sound doctrine. We've not neglected the taking in of the word. And Lord, in love, help us to share with those who are lost in the charismatic movement, who are being deceived by lying signs and wonders. Lord, we pray for the teachers and preachers of this movement, that they will repent and understand what the Bible says about those who offend your little ones. The false teachers will have a, it's better that they have a millstone put around their neck and then be cast into the depth of the sea. That would be a far greater ending than what awaits them in your wrath. Help them to repent and lead their congregation, their people back into the light, into the truth. And Lord, help us as a church not to judge, not to look down upon, not to fight with, but to love them in truth, but share the truth. And just maybe we'll bring some out. You went looking for the one and left the 99. Lord, if we can save one from this movement, it'd be worth it. Help us to have that attitude. Help us to be a church that will always love, but will always share the truth in that love. And we will not be found ignorant of your ways. We will be part of your solution to help those who are lost. We pray this in your name, and in your name alone. Amen.